Let's talk to Kerry Gray with the firm of Looper Reed and McGraw. Kerry, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, people want to know, you know, trial by jury is kind of an important thing. I said earlier, and I believe it, everybody in their lifetime will either be the victim of a crime, accused of a crime, or know someone well who is. It's unfortunate, but I think it's true. Now, you recently tried a case before the state Supreme Court, the state of Texas Supreme Court, that was a civil case for racial discrimination, but a Batson strike arose in that case. Tell me about that.
Well, this civil case presents the exact same issues that the criminal case does. Our case was a race discrimination case, and the question there was whether race can be used as a reason for a peremptory challenge if that's the issue on trial.
Okay, so in layman's terms, you represented a company that was being accused of race discrimination.
Exactly.
What exactly were they being accused of?
The accusation was that they had discharged an employee and that race was a motivating factor.
Okay. I mean, in layman's terms, they fired some dude and he said it was because he was black.
Exactly.
But the real reason was?
The real reason was because of a botched project he'd been working on.
Okay. And so this thing works its way up there, and you as the attorney, when you're looking at your jury, when they bring when you're engaged in what lawyers call voir dire, or what the legal system calls voir dire, they put this group of people in a room and you get to choose who to throw out and whoever's left will be on the jury. You struck someone who was black?
Right. Both sides exercised peremptory challenges that were subject later to being second-guessed as being motivated in part by race. And so those were the issues that went up on this appeal.
Okay. And so the question is, did you take those people out of the room, keep them off the jury because they were black and the plaintiff was black, or did you do it for some other reason? What was the reason you said you did it?
Well, in depended on the different circumstances with regard to each potential juror, but in general, we asked the question whether they had, any of them had felt the sting of racial discrimination in their lifetime, and several raised their hands and said yes. So then we followed up on that answer, and based upon how they responded to us, three or four of them, and I've forgotten which of the number was, ended up being struck, and we challenged them using what we call peremptory challenges, which is generally we can strike them for any reason we want to, except in 1986, the Supreme Court passed this or rendered a decision in this case called Batson that says you can't do it on the basis of race.
Okay. So your theory was, in striking these jurors, if you ask them the question, hey, has anybody ever felt the sting of racial discrimination, whether they have or they haven't, if they perceive that they have, then they're more likely to side with the plaintiff, who wasn't your client.
That was our concern.
So your job representing your client is to make sure that the people on there are not going in there already looking for a racial discrimination case, but just people with an open mind.
Yes, sir. That's exactly the purpose of voir dire, is to pick out the jurors who are believed to have an open mind and can decide the case based on the facts that are presented in the courtroom and not some prior experiences or biases or prejudices they might bring into the courtroom.
And what was the ruling? What did Supreme Court come back with in your
Supreme
case?
Court said that because of the statistical disparity, even though they wouldn't decide whether the trial lawyer did or did not make the peremptory challenge on the basis of race, the record required them to send it back to be tried again.
So where are you in the process? Back trying the case again?
No, after all that happened, they settled the case.
So I guess I'm not clear. The jury said, here's the deal. Let's say I'm a black juror, and I'm sitting in there, and you, Kerry Gray, say, you know what, I think that guy's eyeballing me. I think I might have gotten a fight with him at some point. Or I don't know, some reason he doesn't seem to like me. So you strike me from the jury. The other side says, you only struck me because I was black. And you say, no, in my heart of hearts, in my gut, my instinct, after years of trying cases, says, that guy didn't like me or my client, and I didn't want him on the jury. How can we know what's in your heart? How can you what do you offer up as evidence? No, it wasn't because he was black. It was because he eyeballed me. I don't believe you.
And the answer to that question is you might not be able to offer anything. And the court acknowledges that when trial lawyers are making those decisions, they frequently are doing it on the basis of just instinct. It's a gut call. Is that guy likely to appreciate my client's argument or not? And if not, do I need to let him stay on this jury? And you have to make that call in the heat of battle, and that's one of the things I think might be lost in all this discussion. It would be hard to overstate how hectic and how pressured the whole experience is. You got 36 people there. You've never seen those people before. They're all sitting out there looking at you, not a bit happy to be answering your questions. The judge is telling you you need to hurry. Those are the people that elect the judge. They don't want their time to be wasted. And so this is all happening bang, bang, bang. You make these decisions, and then the opposing counsel stands up and says, wait a minute, I think this one or that one or the other one might have been struck because of his or her race. And you've got to say, for example, maybe I struck juror number 2, 3, or 4 solely because I wanted to get juror number 24, get to juror number 24 mm-hmm. because he was a perfect juror for my case.
Mm-hmm.
Never paying that much attention to what 2, 3, or 4 were in terms of race or what their attitudes were beyond the mere answers to the questions they've given me. And I have to make these decisions with no time.
Kerry Gray, hold with me for just a moment. We'll come back to you. An interesting post on a local blog that sort of explains all this. And our conversation with Kerry Gray, and then your calls. You ever been on a jury? Were you struck or were you kept? Why do you think that was the case? When we talk about a jury of your peers, that doesn't mean you're hanging buddies from around the neighborhood. That doesn't mean you're fishing buddies. That doesn't mean your softball team. But what does it mean? Should race be allowed when a lawyer is striking someone from the jury, when they're trying to decide who's going to be left in the jury? You know, it's like picking your team for basketball, right? Should you be able to choose race? Not that anyone would. Not that anyone would say, hey, dude, you're white. I don't want you on my team. You white dudes aren't any good. Not that anyone would do that in a jury, or would they? And if they would, is it reasonable to do that? If you have a white client who's a defendant in a criminal case, and the accuser is black, and you're the attorney for that defendant, would you want whites on the jury or blacks? Or should we pretend it doesn't matter? Is it better if we just pretend it doesn't matter? Because attorneys who practice day in and day out will tell me, as I've talked to a number of them today, they say to me, Michael, I'll tell you this, defense attorneys, if they see a white male come in with a crew cut, he's out. He ain't making the jury. Because they know he's a law and order dude and ain't nothing you can tell him. If there's any way he can convict, he will. Well, what are you striking him on? Kerry Gray is the managing partner of Looper, Reed & McGraw, and he just tried a case before the state Supreme Court dealing with this on the civil side. Kerry, do you believe it's the case? You don't have to speak to your case. Do you believe it's the case in over half of cases where race is a pivotal issue in the case, like a race discrimination case? Do you think that lawyers are prone to say, I want people that look like my client on the jury, and I don't want people who don't?
That is the concern. And, in fact, one of the most recent articles on this subject has pointed out research that, as they said, compellingly demonstrates the existence of unconscious race and gender-based stereotyping. So someone... And by the way, I think we got to remember, both sides get to do these peremptory challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides get to strike 6 jurors, usually, who they don't like in the case for whatever reason, as mm-hmm. long as it's not based on race or gender.
But if it is truly unconscious, Kerry, then what's the point of asking them why they did it? Maybe if it is truly unconscious, literally, then they're not going to know it anyway.
They won't, and they'll try to explain their justifications in a race-neutral way, and that's really for the judge to then decide, what, do I believe that or do I not? And that's what we have trial courts there for, to be referees.
Yeah, but we know that you didn't take a case to the Supreme Court unless you wanted to overrule the trial court.
Well, that's certainly true of the other side, and of course, in our case, the other side struck 6 white jurors. And so we won at the trial court level, so we weren't appealing, and... But we have the appellate courts in place to second guess, I suppose you'd say, what the trial court judges do in the heat of the battle.
But so what happened is both sides were recognizing the reality that if you're rolling the die, we may not know what an individual's heart will say and what an individual's experience is, But we do have certain facts that we can look at. If I have a jury to try the case of is Barack Obama going to be the next president or not, and I know that the statistics tell me that 99% of blacks voted for him and 40-something percent of whites voted for him, over 50% of whites voted against him, I'd be crazy not to consider race in that case, wouldn't I?
Well, and that's what the court said. A zealous advocate is supposed to seek jurors that are favorably inclined toward his or her client's position. And even race may even serve, you know, as a factor, but whatever the strategic advantages of that might be, the Constitution forbids it. That's what the Supreme Court of the United States said in 1986.
Well, it just strikes me, Kerry, that what we're doing here, what we're doing is a political mindset and agenda overlaying the reality of making sure both sides are equally represented. And if what we want is zealous advocacy, we're not going to get that if people are terribly afraid. Well, I know what's best for my client, but politically, that's not PC. I better not do that. Well, then you didn't represent your client. If you're representing me, I expect you're going to get me the best jury to win my case. That was the job.
That's exactly the job. And in the case of an assistant district attorney, he's representing all of us. And his job is supposed to be to represent our interests in that trial and pick the jurors he thinks are going to be inclined to convict the defendant. That's his job. The defense lawyers are supposed to do the opposite.
Right.
The only way the system will work, both sides have to press the envelope as hard as they can press the envelope. If you say to both sides, just be fair and do it right, that's not a likely outcome.
Fair enough. The system works when both sides are zealously, when zealous advocacy is occurring on behalf of both clients, and we leave it to the jury to work out the rest. Kerry Gray with Looper, Reed & McGraw, thanks for being with me.
And thank you.